Hey y'all, it's me, Dr. Samina Rahman, Gyno Girl. Welcome back to another episode of Gyno Girl Presents Sex, Drugs, and Hormones. I am Dr. Samina Rahman. I am a board certified OBGYN in downtown Chicago with a practice, the GYN and Sexual Medicine Collective. It's a Ms. Medicine practice. It is a full service concierge practice. Transferred into that space. And I just completed a wonderful conversation with actually a patient and friend, Catalin Rodriguez Ogren, which we're going to talk to her about a lot of things today around nutrition and functional exercise. But I wanted to just review a little bit about her bio. She has a very interesting biography. She's an internationally recognized martial artist with four black belts and a fitness professional with a prolific career spanning three decades. She's authored several fitness training manuals and starred in numerous workout videos and DVDs and played Katana, Melina, and Jade in the iconic video game Mortal Kombat 2. Her reach extends across fitness, entertainment, and international speaking circuit, where she has presented at industry events worldwide. As owner and operator of POW, Gyms Chicago, since 2001, she pioneered a boutique fitness concept and built her reputation on programming that meets her clients where they are. She understands what actually works for real bodies and real lives. What sets Catalin apart isn't just her experience, it's her focus on genuine connection, and she believes real change happens through relationships, not a one-size-fits-all workout plan. And that's where we align. And she happens to be my patient. She signed a HIPAA waiver, so that we could talk about stuff too. But anyway, I hope you enjoy this conversation. I think you'll gain a lot from it, and let's go. Hey, y'all, it's me, Dr. Samina Rahman, Gyno Girl. Welcome back to another episode of Gyno Girl Presents Sex, Drugs, and Hormones. I'm Dr. Samina Rahman, sex med gynecologist, menopause expert in downtown Chicago. Today, I'm thrilled to talk to a dear friend and actually patient of mine who is going to talk to us about strength and function in midlife and how to get, you know, reclaim yourself and all the things. And so I'm super excited to talk to Catalin Rodriguez Ogren, who is the owner of POW Gym, and as you heard in my intro. But Catalin, thank you so much for being on today.
Thanks for inviting me to talk about this, because it's a piece of the puzzle, right?
A piece of the puzzle. You know, when we talk about lifestyle modifications, really we're talking, you know, these are the first steps into navigating your best lifespan. You know, I think longevity is getting a negative connotation this year, but we're really talking about lifespan and preventative medicine, right? And at the end of the day, like, this is a big component of it. But, you know, my tag name is Gyno Girl, so I like a good origin story because I love comics. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what brought you into the exercise space and, you know, now into like the more like focused on midlife women and training?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I did not think when I was in college that, and there wasn't a lot of encouragement for women to go into like the exercise sciences and movement, but it was something I did pretty consistently. It is one of those careers that is a little different than a lot of career paths. There's a lot of ways into it. It's not like becoming a doctor where you really have to track that from the moment you go into college until the next steps. So I kind of sidestepped into it, working at the East Bank Club here in Chicago, which was like the greatest first job after college. And I did that through graduate school and didn't go into my field of study, which was forensics and criminal justice and all this other stuff. And kind of was presented with this cool crossroads of, you know, being offered a job in law enforcement versus being offered a job that had full-time status in the fitness field. And I was kind of same earning. I was like the same salary. And I was like, wow, this is a lot cooler. You know, it really kind of allowed me to be an athlete as well as make a money. And at the end of the day, I got to get paid doing the things I enjoyed doing. I was very fortunate to be there at that time. But more importantly, I was really good at always recognizing great opportunity. And I've always been really good at walking through doors when they open. That's kind of probably my superpower is walking through those doors and not really being afraid. So, you know, fast forward 30 something years later, now I've had this career and then just dove into it full time and as comprehensively as I could.
Amazing. I mean, I love also like your history in martial. I mean, you're a badass, right? Like you're a certified badass. Like,
yes.
She's a martial artist.
Hashtag so, ninja for life.
Ninja for life. I mean, you know, I joke yeah. about being a pap ninja because I'm in and out so fast. But like, you know, like you're an actual like, you know, ninja, like sort of.
Yeah. It, you I know, the martial arts world. Theory,
by the way. You know, the
yeah, the martial arts has given back tenfold to me. So my whole life is somewhat grounded in the fact that that was like the structure and the framework of how I did everything. So I feel pretty fortunate that I've been able to do this my whole life, basically since nine. You know, I don't really remember life before, if that makes sense. The good thing is it's layer building.
Yeah.
And I think that, as you know, which I would imagine from what I understand in your career, it's like you can evolve and become more things in your career. It doesn't mean you don't still do the other things right. that set your foundation up. So for me, it's all about like skill acquisition. Uh-huh. You know, how can I use my existing interests, my existing education and experience to acquire the next set of skills to evolve in nutrition and fitness and training and performance, and they don't have to be in separate lanes. They can constantly kind of cross over each other, which I think is my favorite thing about my career, that mm-hmm. I can walk from working with youth athletes to now working with women in med life, and then go back into my office and do a nutrition coaching session and then go back on the floor. You know, that's the coolest part. Your career does that as well. Yeah. And that's the cool thing about midlife.
Yeah.
You know, and the book says yourself. That like,
yeah,
it's not a decline. It's a reset. You can constantly reset.
This is a book. Know? Okay. Nutrition for Women, Navigating Menopause, The Power of Addiction and Anti-Diet Strategy. Addiction.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
So, available on Amazon. You'll see it in the show notes. But talk to me about what inspired the book then. Like, I guess all the things you're talking about, but.
Yeah, you know, I got a little pissed off with, you know, what was being presented to me as solutions. I was.
Don't piss off a ninja, guys.
Yeah, exactly. I tell you, you know, I was really trying to figure out some really big, like skin related changes mm-hmm. in my menopause process. And to be honest, I wasn't really being given a lot of guidance from GPs and even dermatologists. They weren't even like factoring in my age at the time that mm-hmm. this could have been something that was a byproduct of something hormonal changing that, you know, it did take me some time to figure that out. Really kind of, I think walking through your office was more of that clarity, because you only think of things like hot flashes mm-hmm. and these traditional things that like your mother shared with you, right?
So if she shared anything.
If right. she shared anything, exactly. Right. And the truth was that the skin thing was so time consuming, because I was mm-hmm. getting this, what was finally, it took me 18 months to actually get like what was happening, not why it was happening, but what was happening. And that was the delayed onset allergy to a chemical fragrance compound that's in everything with a fragrance. Mm-hmm. And it was causing a chemical burn on my skin.
Crazy.
On my eyes.
Yeah.
Back to like weird and then weird and then weirder, like mm-hmm. really only my eyes. Like, so without kind of getting into that, most of my like very disruptive symptoms, other than the traditional fatigue and hot flashes, all that kind of stuff, was stemmed to this chemical burn that was manifesting on my eyelids and under my eye. And people just were like, oh, you're back to sparring again. Like they thought I just got hit in the face again, because it would look like a black eye yeah. and it would mouse up.
Pictures, yeah.
Yeah. So it was really, really weird. So, you know, trying to get everybody to like, hey, can we like figure what this is at this time? So mm-hmm. I did go free and clear in my house, which really did help, obviously, with the outcome of what was happening with the delayed response. But more importantly, I didn't really know the why. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I was experiencing a bunch of other things, you know, fatigue and I think the best summary I can say, obviously waking up with like a chemical burn look on your face does not make a woman feel pretty good about anything. But like my spirit was just kind of broken. Like I had kind of lost my mojo. That's the best way I could put it. It wasn't like one particular thing. So nutrition was in place, you know, training was in place. Sleep was a little disrupted, as we know. That's kind of a big detriment to different phases of the whole menopause experience. And GPs, man, they just were not helpful, and they were insulting and really marginalizing. So back in 24, finally made my way into the GP.
I wish to say, like, that doesn't I mean, we don't think it's not like every GP is like this. I think obviously you had some bad, you know, but I do think I always say, like, our system is set up to fail doctors and patients, because you have 10 minutes with a visit and, you know, you're supposed to be in and out, and doctors are really being over, like, they're getting burnt out because of the 40 patients a day. But I do think there's probably some humility that should happen when we don't know what's happening. And that we should be okay when patients are wanting to go to a second opinion or whatever the case may be, because it might not be in our capacity as a practice that sees 40 patients a day to do anything, you know, that's positive. But
and I try to be sensitive to that. Like, I get it. But like when you're bringing up, and you're, I don't mean by any means saying all GPs, I that is not my intention. But in my experience, this GP was, not listening. It's like, I brought up hormones. I said, these are the things that I'm feeling. And she gave me two prescriptions to see two different mental health therapists, one for my husband and I to seek marriage counseling, and another for me, that was what she thought would help me get on the other side, despite the fact that I was mentioning, like, hey, I just kind of feel like this is hormone related. Now, mind you, in my profile, it says, you know, tamoxifen, 5 years, radiation, lumpectomy, you know, breast cancer, all this kind of stuff. And then like my ages should be a pretty forward facing fact,
right?
In my opinion. So that just kind of was frustrating. And, you know, I obviously then found you, and, you know, fast forward, that was like just now acceleration for me. So I took the information, I felt validated, more importantly, and just kind of like accelerated like my next pursuit of knowledge.
Shared decision making.
Yep. And then really just kind of put it all together and just literally woke up and was like, you know what, I'm going to write this book.
Yeah.
And then just knocked it out. And that's kind of where sometimes you have to be in the right headspace.
Sure.
To put it all together.
Yep. Absolutely.
So that's where the book came from. And it was really focused on navigating menopause and how nutrition really can be this piece with strength training. It does focus on nutrition for women going through a midlife transition. And there are these things that are related to food. You know, estrogen is, as it drops in the body, it's pretty destructive to even how you receive food and your serotonin, your insulin levels, protein sense. There's all these things that go on. And if you kind of can figure that out, you can use food to assist, not prevent,
right?
But it will help with brain fog, and it will help with all these other things. And then the goal is to get all the columns in check, you know, that you are working harmoniously through all these different parts of the body that really need support, strength, nutrition, hormones.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about your gym and the opening of that, and what, you know, kind of brought you into that, and functional strength training. Because I know you're a big proponent of that as well. So talk to us about when your gym and when you started with that, and some of the things you believe.
Yeah, happy to say, celebrating 25 years next month. First boutique gym to open up in the city of Chicago, and still open.
Pow
Gym Chicago in the West Loop, exactly. So, you know, that was more like a culmination of all the things I wanted to do, back to like, what can I do to go to work, make money, and love what I do? And I really do feel pretty lucky that was an opportunity that I had. And it has evolved through a lot of different things. It originally opened as just strength training and mixed martial arts. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the vision at the time. But, you know, you also grow and evolve and the industry changes. And we've become obviously less of the combat world. And the strength programming and the performance training has grown over decades. And just like I'm sure for you, like when you had your children, you know, you evolved your,
correct,
you know, yeah, insight into your practice. Mm-hmm. And then you're on the other side of that. And you're like, wow, there's kind of a void here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm fortunate that I've always been in an owner operated role where I get to really invest in relationships. And that was kind of always the vision is, right, you know, to invest in relationships so that you can provide just better overall training to people. So sure, like the whole emotional deposit strategy is what I still believe in, which is part of why you're working with people to begin with, is, yes, to actually listen to them, not to ignore them. And that's, you just see, always been kind of my strategy.
I love it. Yeah. And you offer a lot of different services. I know you talk a lot about sort of functional strength training. Can you talk about, mm-hmm, what you mean by that and why it's, yeah, important for midlife women?
Yeah. So functional strength training is really your ability to get stronger through the ranges of motion that the body has to move. So if we're talking about longevity and independence in later life, we can't just be working and moving our body through one plane of motion. So there's nothing wrong with the big box gyms like a Planet Fitness, where you go in and you do fitness training or, mm-hmm, strength training. But there's not a lot of things in life where laying on a flatbed leg press are really going to translate, mm-hmm, into, yeah, being stronger for a life of movement.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm very movement forward. You know, I mean, moving in the second half of your life is literally going to give you insurance in your older years. It's, absolutely, you're a longevity insurance.
Right.
Well, there's a couple layers to that. The stronger you are, I mean, there's all sorts of studies on like the size of the femur, the bone density within the femur really determines like how much calcium's in the bone. And you can't really build that if you're not gaining more strength training. So you have to progressively load the body. You can't just walk on a treadmill with 5-pound weights. Now, that's not to say no one should start with walking on a treadmill with 5-pound weights. But if you're doing that for a month, it's time to progress if you want to now hit the next level of overload and strength for the body. And then the biggest part of it is supporting that strength training with nutrition that will actually help you gain muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So functional strength training is moving through ranges of motion. I always try to use the example of like you're driving in the car, whether you have young children. So maybe you're not in the menopause phases of life, or you're driving in the car with your bag and you rotate into the back seat of the car and you lift your big bag up and you put it into the front seat of the car. That is a highly functional movement pattern that we do on a pretty regular basis where we're rotating pretty deeply and we're, mm-hmm, now using all this strength. And the goal is to be able to do that without pulling your back, straining your shoulder, hurting,
sure,
your neck.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be like an example. Or just, you know, now you're the soccer mom and you got to go get the cases of Costco beverages and, yes, you're just like loading one after the other.
Yeah.
It's important to have that strength profile.
Yeah.
And it have the ability to improve your overall movement pattern. So it's also being strong through ranges of motion,
mm-hmm,
which is functional,
yep,
as well. And the cool thing is fitness is a byproduct of functional strength, cool, training, not really the other way around.
Right, right. Agree. And just like when you're on an airplane and you're trying to lift your bag above your, you know,
mm-hmm,
and then, you know, you always see the women that aren't able to, or, you know, sometimes men, they always, mm-hmm, give the additional help.
Yeah.
But like, you know, to me, it feels good to now be like, okay, when someone tries, no, I got it. Thanks. You know, mm-hmm, all good. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the biggest message that I really want women in midlife to understand is that muscle is magical. Muscle is not magic. But it is magical. It's magical in that it completely can change how your body gains and receives the calories that you put in the body. So when estrogen is kind of dropping in your body, we have these like insulin sensitivity. We become kind of resistant to the protein synthesis process. It's that like anabolic resistance is what it happens. And I don't really talk to clients and use words like anabolic resistance, but more that you don't efficiently synthesize protein as well as you did when you were potentially younger. Mm-hmm. So if you want to increase muscle mass, it's really important to increase protein intake. Protein intake is going to help with all these other things that we get affected by. Like if our serotonin levels are being affected by the drop in our estrogen levels, we tend to crave a little bit more of those like not so good carbs, which then fluctuates our blood sugar levels. So if we want to kind of look at it from that perspective, increasing your protein now is going to actually help to mitigate a little bit of that. Maybe not in one day, sure, but over time, if you're at the protein intake levels that you're supposed to be at for your age at this point of life, then you are going to have better reaction to food, and maintaining your blood sugar levels are going to actually help you with a day when maybe your hormones are messing with like your energy levels. Mm-hmm. Food can support those changes along with some of the things that we can't see coming. And then I think that's really the biggest message with the book is that nutrition is one of the few things in life we really can control. We can't control hormonal changes. We can respond to changes, but we're constantly discovering what those changes are doing to us. Mm-hmm. Whereas food can be an underlying support system.
Yeah.
And it's not about dieting. And I think that's the other thing with women our ages, you know, they were raised in the diet culture.
Yes.
And it's really been destructive to kind of their awareness of what they're supposed to eat to get to the body that they want. They equate it automatically with keto and the grapefruit diet and the South Beach diet and all these other diets, where it's really not about dieting as much as it's about reorganizing food. But protein is probably the biggest thing I see women making the biggest mistake about. They just are not prioritizing protein. And really, that's what the book does, is it's like, you got to prioritize protein and you got to prioritize plants. And it's not as hard as you think it is. Once you kind of discover that.
I mean, I think that's what most of my patients, like, they feel like it's really hard to get, you know, 30 grams of protein for every meal or whatever, you know, they feel like that equation for them worked out to be. But I think on average for most midlife women, getting that 30 grams per meal, but, you know, it can be challenging. I have to say, like, sometimes it's
same.
Hard to, you know, it's hard to get like, wait, how many? Oh man, I have some more stuff to
The book kind of like organizes it for you a little bit. And the other thing is, it's not very sciencey. It's just like, let's just talk about it in terms of who we are. I try to get women to really leverage the existing skills that they have as like the CEOs of their household and like the family's life, right? They really are the CEO of decision making. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to like their own decision making skill sets, they have this like fatigue that just sets in place. And then they just like default to, you know, the macaroni and cheese that's left over on the plate from their kids. So any type of positive change you make for yourself does require having a moment to plan for it, just like you do when you get frustrated and you're like, I'm going to prioritize seeing a doctor. I am blocking that out. I am going to go see someone for my hormones. And then you prioritize that time.
Yeah.
No differently than anything else. So it's kind of also encouraging women that you've got people on their team.
Yes.
That are going to help cheer them into saying like, hey, you know, it's time to prioritize you. And I think, you know, we all go through that where we place someone else's needs in front of our
own. All the time. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of your typical midlife female MO. Yeah. Midlife thing. Oh, and then forget about it if you're sandwiched. You know, like back to, you had a help your dad today. And, you know, a lot of us are in this sandwich generation where like we have still kids, of course, that we're raising. And then you have your parents that really need you for a lot of different reasons. So trying to learn from that myself, like I want to be pretty capable as the decades, you know, I enter new decades.
Right. Because it's probably more like, especially, you know, my parents are immigrated here. And so it's, that's not something that ever was on, you know, they were just in survival mode most of the time, like trying to figure out how to adjust to life in America, whatever the case may be. It wasn't like they were forward thinking, like, let me figure out how I can age in such a way that it's not, you know, that I'm mobile and I'm not, you know, having to do, you know, having to depend on different things or variables. And so I don't, that wasn't in the equation for most, probably most, you know, boomers or, you know, whatever generation your parents might be from. But also if you're a product of immigrants, like for sure, like you're just trying to like survive in a new country and trying to adapt to a new culture. Right. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, I have a little section in the book that says, this is not your mother's menopause. So get over it. Just kind of like suck it up, buttercup. It's not her menopause. So whatever you're not doomed to have that menopause experience.
Right.
You know, women just in our parents' generation, they didn't have the support systems that we have here. Even just like from a liberated, you know, point of view, they didn't have a voice. And while they may have had careers, society didn't really set them up to feel like they could speak very openly about basically everything that's on your show.
Absolutely.
I mean, you talk about that a ton on your show that, you know, women didn't have that voice, even if they were immigrants that migrated here and then went on to law school or went on to become a doctor, which a lot of immigrants have done.
Yeah.
They still really kind of secretly handled things like sex, hormones, lifestyle, just everything was really, really not an open topic.
Not at all.
You know?
Yeah.
So I try to acknowledge that as well in the book. And, you know, when I do talk to my clients, I ask them, like, do you have fears about things you witnessed your mom experience, that that's going to be like your, you know, your detriment? And we can mitigate a lot of that now with access to doctors like you, and all the celebrities talking about this does help.
Of course.
You know, I really do appreciate that finally, like, the power of celebritydom has been converted into like
sort of a movement,
you know, superpower for of real positive image. And like, you can do this.
Yes.
Even though they acknowledge they have a lot of resources to help them with that process.
Yeah.
There's a lot of resources for all of us now to make steps towards that process.
Right. Right. Absolutely. I think also you do some like performance stuff with people and try to get optimizing. Mm-hmm. Is that like high schoolers and younger kids?
Yeah. So I have a whole department of sports performance, speed and sports performance training. So the cool thing is, you know, when you're 25 years old in a business, you finally reach this multi-generational status where you have multiple generations of people within your facility.
Right.
With parents, you know, like our age, and then kids that belong in their family. And I think that's a really cool thing too, that whether you can come and train at POW and experience that, you can have this thing that you have in common with your kids that you can talk about. It's another thing that can connect you to your kids, that you are working out and that they are also working out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty neat. I think also, I mean, lots of studies have shown that when people exercise and they do strength train, they do start to make better decisions about their food, because they feel absolutely rotten when they don't support their training with the right food. Like walking in with, I always tease teenagers, like, do not walk in with Fanta and taquitos into the gym. Before we're working out.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we literally walk over and take it out of their hand.
Yeah,
and like, you can get this on your way out the door.
Yeah.
So awareness has to happen in small steps with kids.
Yeah.
And the only way you're going to do the only way you'll make a change for them is to give them, like anyone, small wins.
Yes.
Over and over again that compound to really, really big wins.
Absolutely.
Same thing with adults. We want small wins that compound into big wins at the end of the day. And we focus so much.
And kids learn from example too, right? Like they learn from example.
Totally. You think your kids aren't learning from you when they get to a certain age, you know, that age where they start kind of talking back in their teenage years. And I just, yeah. I don't think that's true at all. I think kids are still pretty observant. If you are positively modeling things, I think they're going to see that. And it does affect them, whether it's that yeah. day or in the future. I think it, no, it totally, helps
yeah.
a ton.
Yeah. And whenever I take my kids to the gym with me or when I, with training, they're always surprised. They're like, whoa, mom, you're stronger than I thought.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Don't fuck yeah. with me, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm lucky. I get to work with adults and kids. Like I said, back to dream job, you know, doing dream things. And, you know, whether the nutrition coaching, you know, I've got a group of female swimmers that, you know, we reorganize their food for their tournaments and their competitions. And it's been game changing for them. Like, game changing in that, like, one's going to Tulane on a ride and another one's getting offers and can't figure out what to decide. And while their swim coaches are making obviously great gains in their performance and output, their strength training has been very valuable. They've really kind of been honest and said, like, how they eat on a tournament day has really been the biggest impact recently at this time for them, because swim is an event where they have multiple events over the course of, you know, let's say 4 hours. That's really cool. And then seeing my female clients be like, I can't believe how much more energy I have from just inserting a protein with every single carb. Even if you can't get the 30 grams, don't get caught up in that. Get caught up in finding any form
you have to start somewhere.
Protein. Yeah. To go with your carbohydrates, because back to like, it compounds over the day. You know, one of the lessons we do is like this idea that nutrition is one of those things where 1 + 1 actually equals 3. And we talk about how many 1 + 1 meals equaling 3 can we insert into the day, whether you're vegetarian, vegan, or a meat eater. It's sometimes making people just aware of how to create that 1 + 1 equals 3. It's not like everybody has to eat quinoa, tofu, edamame, and ground turkey all day. You are eating things that probably will work for you, just have to figure out how to eat more of it.
Absolutely. And it does. It makes a big difference for people. You know, my husband always jokes that, you know, my listeners are like vigilantes. So I always ask my guests, you know, what their hot take is or their vigilante verdict is. What is the message that you want the listeners? You know, I have a lot of clinicians that listen. I have a lot of midlife women. I have, you know, a variety. I mean, husbands and spouses, you know. So what kind of message do you want the listeners to gain from our discussion today?
Midlife is not a decline in your life of who you are or who you want to be. It's really, truly the opportunity for a reset. I mean, midlife is this cool place to be that you finally kind of know who you are. I think hormone changes makes you doubt that sometimes because of lack of sleep, not having energy, and so forth. But if you could do things to regain your energy, and you could do things to help with your sleep, and you could do things to feel stronger, then it makes you feel like you have ownership over yourself again. You kind of know who you want your friends to be. You know who, you know how you want to spend your time. You have clarity in how you want to spend your money. You have a clear vision of the things you enjoy in life. So you have this like ownership of really some of the most important things that made us very confused in our 20s and 30s, where like you didn't know, like, did you still want to go out with that one girlfriend who just ends up drinking or till 2 in the morning? Like you got to depleting you. So when you combine that and you apply this knowledge of yourself, and you take that confidence that you already have in these other columns, like you, you know how to guide your kids in school, or your kids are finally in a routine that provides you with freedom. That's the other thing. Most women in their 40s and 50s, you know, it's not baby changing. It's not diaper changing days anymore. It's not that they're not time consuming. They are. But there's a lot of time you get back. And it's time to use it.
Well, I have a lot of 40-year-olds having their first babies. Also true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But you know so much more about yourself. And it's not, and men, the same. Like, you can reset yourself, but you have to be willing to listen to yourself. Your body speaks to you, and you have to know how to hear it and what it's telling you. So we talk about, like, digestion a lot. And your digestion's meant to be invisible. If you're waking up and you hear your digestion, you need to make a mental note that whatever's causing that, maybe it's not your 7 o'clock meal on a Tuesday night anymore. Maybe it needs to be your Sunday 5 p.m. meal. And you need to figure out what should be a Tuesday night 7 o'clock meal so that your digestion is not interfering with your sleep, right? And then now you are a woman going through hot flashes at the same time. Well, you know, you can't crush your digestion before going to bed. That's not saying don't eat.
Reset.
So reset, not, you know, reset. It's there. It's there. I swear to you.
It is. It is. And you're a good example of that. And with all the amazing things that you've done, and we didn't even talk about Mortal Kombat.
I know. It's so long ago. I know. Mortal Kombat was one of the most fun things I've ever been part of. And still good friends with the whole crew from the original cast from Mortal Kombat. We still
hang out. So you were the voice behind it, or you were...
So I played the female ninjas in Mortal Kombat 2. So the original katana. Yeah, the original katana, Melina and Jade.
That's so cool.
I know. In fact, I have a Mortal Kombat event in April in Kentucky. Like, we still get asked to do big events because
kinda
the game,
like the Comic Cons and stuff, right?
Yeah, they're like that, or they're gaming events.
Gaming events.
Yeah, a lot of I mean, retro games are still really popular.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has to do with, like, our generation as kids too, that grew up with games, and then they have this thing in common. So it is pretty fun when we all get together. It definitely, it's a really good time.
That's awesome. Well, Catalin, thank you so much for being on today. I really appreciate, you know, everything that you're doing and all your wisdom. And I liked doing the event with you last year. We did that cool event with talking about midlife hormones and quality of life and functional strength training. That was really cool. So hopefully we can do more in the future. But I appreciate you. All your information is going to be in our show notes, so everyone will know how to connect with you. You're on the Instagram as well, so we'll put all that, your handles on as well, and your information about your book. So thanks again, and look forward to seeing you, you know, next time in the office. But otherwise, thanks for everyone. Thanks for listening, everyone. My name is Dr. Samina Rahman, Gyno Girl. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Gyno Girl Presents: Sex, Drugs, and Hormones. Remember, I'm here to educate so you could advocate for yourself. Please join me next week.
If you have a second, please subscribe to this podcast. I'd love for you to be a follower and learn as much as you can about the things that we're going to talk about with all the people on our journey. Please review us on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. These reviews really help. Review us, comment, tell me what else you want to hear to get more information. My practice website is www.cgcchicago.com. My website for Gyno Girl is www.gynogirltv.com. My Instagram is Gyno Girl, so please follow me for some good content. Additionally, I have a YouTube channel, Gyno Girl TV, where I love to talk about all these things on YouTube. And please subscribe to my newsletter, Gyno Girl News, which will be available on my website. I will see you next time.